Can you transfer? Hey, some terrible.
So did he get?
No.
No, we, I just heard a rumor and I called a friend in admissions to tell him a couple questions.
He lets me go down to my 1.5 bottle.
Station.
He actually.
Or is our student employee fine?
No, he didn't. So he's currently on the floor.
So if I keep finding things, then his way is still a good idea?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just get started with this. It's pretty normal. It's hard to like break in.
I know.
Okay, I'll keep on mind because I saw a couple that showed up and I was like, I haven't heard anything. Sometimes no news is good news. No, I'll let him know.
This is perfect.
Okay. Yeah, like I, yeah, doesn't get stuck and like can like self figure out. I'm scared to say like.
This is just terrible.
Yeah, so.
Okay. What about when we did?
It's part of our purview a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, first day that she showed up, the guy is very military. Yeah, there's part of the pageant. Bill never brought up the other paper.
And we don't have.
It's like, I'm gonna run those taxes. I think Bill is here in the.
Is he?
Yeah.
Budget.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're talking about budget over there.
Yeah. Thankfully, hey, he's going to be alone for now.
Oh, no, it's not.
I haven't heard anything from Central Delta New System. Yeah. Follow up with Paul.
But you don't know.
Maybe. Okay, thank you. To combine this to sponsor.
I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah.
We're not planning on refilling this position.
You're not refilling this position. It's going to be savory. It's going to be savory with your sweet mixes.
And it's the best one. Especially as a developer.
I got it.
So good afternoon, everybody. While the president, vice presidents, and Kelly are getting their jackets off, I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We are very fortunate to have President Pollack joining us this afternoon. And Martha, I would like to say that we would like to change it up just a little bit.
Okay.
And that we would like to share with you some of the work that we currently have going on across campus with our committee chairs. And then turn it over to some question and answers.
That would be fabulous. But I have one important announcement. I understand that today is Craig's birthday. He's 31. Yeah, no, that would be great. I would love to hear what you've been up to. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And you'll take notes.
Yes,
I didn't take notes. Good. So I am listening to other people take notes.
And as we get started with this too, one of the things that we've really tried to focus on two major pieces. One is just reconnecting with staff across campus, and then two, administratively, we've tried to move away necessarily from the resolution track and to the colleague collaboration track. So that's what we're going to give about 2 to 3 minute updates from each of the committee chairs. And we'll start with Carrie, are you online?
I'm here.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay?
Can.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. So I am chair of the Communications and Awards Committee. This fall, we actually combined two separate committees to create the one we have now. And so we've got a big group that I love, lots of active participants. And a couple of highlights from last semester. As you know, probably, one of the things we do is help organize the annual president's address, which went really well. For the second year in a row, we filled Klarman Hall. So you're two for two, President Pollack. We had a really active group online, over 1,000 unique viewers of the live stream, and dozens of comments and questions. So that was the president's address. And the other event that we put on in the fall was the celebration for the George Peter Award recipient. This year that went to longtime EH&S staff member Agnes Morris. And this semester, what we're looking at is, well, a couple things. So we've established a task force, or we're in the process of doing that, to review our awards programs. We give out two or three each year, typically. And the goal of that group is going to be to review everything, soup to nuts, timing, frequency, level of effort, visibility, and marketing and promotion. Also taking into account all of the other awards and recognition programs on campus, and how we can carve a space for ourselves in that way to really recognize the great work of staff. The ultimate goal is for the group to make recommendations before the end of this term so that we can do a total reboot for the 2019-2020 academic year. So you can expect to see some of that. And we're also going to be collaborating with the Office of Assemblies on a new initiative to do outreach to new employees. So they're going to be helping us get data through HR so that we can see who we have coming to the university, who have been, you know, whether they're 3 month employees or 6 month employees. And we're going to be doing a pilot program basically to do some personal outreach to those staff members from their representatives in the EA. So we're hoping that that will not only raise the visibility of the EA and sort of be a nice introduction, but also allow us to better support the new staff as they're coming in and onboarding and help with any questions or whatever comes up. The last thing I'll mention is that we're going to be doing support for communication support for the rollout of the staff conversations summary report. So that'll be coming up later this semester. That's all I have.
Thank you, Carrie. Yes, please.
A quick comment and a sort of request last question. The comment is, I think that this is really great, really important work as we work on sort of climate more generally. Obviously, not just abilities to communicate with one another, but abilities to have people recognized for what they do. I mean, it's really important to tell people when they do a good job. So I applaud the work you're doing. My question slash request is that we also look, as we're gathering nominations, to assure that we're getting sufficiently diverse nominations. Yeah. I know my experience in hiring faculty, for example, is sometimes you have to go back and say, boy, this was a really good set of faculty you nominated. They all happen to be white males. You know, is there anyone else? And, you know, so that they're good nominations, and they may be the people in the end who get the award, and that's completely fine. But you want to make sure, sometimes when you ask people, they say, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot about her or I forgot about him. So right. I would want to make that a priority.
Absolutely. And I think we can work with our partners in the colleague network groups, too, who we work right. with to recruit new members as well, to get the word out for nominations and stuff.
Terrific. Well, I applaud the work you're doing. It sounds terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Next will be Arla with our Education Committee.
Hi, I chair the Education Development Committee. We currently have 9 members. 3 of those are non-EA members. Our meetings are scheduled as needed, and we have 5 members that have been active this academic year so far. Currently, we're working on gathering information, mostly from the Health, Education, and Voluntary Benefits Office. So we're looking at employee degree program enrollees, completion, and termination data, as well as tuition aid benefit. So staff members from that office are looking at Cornell's competitors, Ivy Plus Group, and regionally, seeing if these institutions offer tuition aid benefit, and how they reimburse costs of tuitions for employees to take coursework off campus, and what are those provisions. So they're working on those reports, and once we get it back, we'll schedule another meeting. But our action item right now is we're coming up with an event that our committee would sponsor. We don't have official title, but we're looking to have a more informed Cornell employee. So engaging staff to learn more about Cornell. We were gonna actually tap into sponsoring an event such as a historical tour, similar to the Day Hall admissions tour that staff members could sign up for. And we're just trying to foster more connectedness to campus. I know I've been on admissions tour a few times and just learned some really unique, interesting things about buildings or different events on campus.
I think that's a great idea. Just a thought, you might at some point want to reach out to Charlie Van Loan.
Okay.
And see if occasionally, you know, one way I think to feel more connected to the campus is to have a faculty member occasionally come in and give a talk on the research they do. And I suspect Charlie would be happy to help with that.
Yeah, so along those lines, we were thinking about, you know, the Bring Your Child to Work Day is a great event for staff members with children.
Yeah.
And so my child's aged out of that, so kind of missed like going around campus yeah. and seeing different highlights like you mentioned. So we were thinking about offering that like a one-off, something similar to what you mentioned about faculty, but having a small cohort of staff sign up for like a unique experience, say in astronomy yeah. or wherever yeah. to kind of get that feel of the Bring Your Child Work Day.
I will tell you, I was at a board meeting last week and Steve Squires,
okay.
who was one of our most prominent faculty member in astronomy, talked about the work he's done on Mars mm-hmm. and also the mission that they're involved in, they're competing for, which would go up to a comet. It would take like 10 years to get to the comet. It would then spend 5 seconds right. picking up a piece of the comet. Anyway, he had the room just totally fascinated. Yeah. So for yeah. what it's worth, you might start with him.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks. Yeah, so we're excited to put those together.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arla. Next is Andrea with the Welfare Committee.
Yeah, I chair our Employee Welfare Committee. And the charge of, I was a little confused at the beginning, is that what are we supposed to do as the Employee Welfare Committee? That's a pretty big element, is to look at proposals and initiatives related to health, wellness, work-life, dependent care, family support, diversity and inclusion, sustainability, transportation, compensation, and any other topic deemed relevant to employee So it's a pretty big charge. We have as well 9 committee members. 3 of them are representing are outside of the EA to be able to. We do have monthly meetings, but I think we've had, based on some of the things that we've been working on, a little bit more frequent meetings, but monthly, either in person or we use Zoom occasionally. I try to have them in person. I think it's a little bit better to be around a table. The things that the large initiative that we were working on that actually started at the end of the last staff conversation on December 19th, and we had to have it already in a draft report by January 9th. So our committee was pretty active for a couple of weeks there, was the summary feedback from the staff conversations. We were able to collect from the 11 sessions and 52 pages of feedback, draft summary report that would allow at least some sort of analysis of the data from all of that qualitative data to get some type of understanding. And that information was used by Craig and Hey Hey on the draft summary report that they provided to Mary last week.
Yes.
So I think that's something that our committee had worked extensively on. We also are working on staff interaction with the Title IX office, because the Title IX office is obviously working a lot with students and issues, and we really wanted to see how the staff connection could be. And Chantel Clary will be at a EA meeting to talk to all of us in 2 months. I think she was supposed to be here today, but she was said, okay, I will give up my seat today for you. So that's it. And then in terms of the recognition, we've also worked with Kim Babuka from the Director of HR Compensation on the spot recognition portal. And I think that's live.
Going up in about a week.
This is
where supervisors give points.
Does
everybody know about this?
Yeah, she did a presentation for us, and then we talked to her about how the EA could support in the promotion of that to be able to do that. And we've been able to, I think it's not live, but we've been able to use this. Yeah, so it's amazing. And even without the point system, even just to be able to say, great job. And I know we did that on a couple of people that worked on our staff conversation acknowledgement. So that was good.
Do you get a sense that it's as rewarding for the people who get to acknowledge as people who get acknowledged?
I think so. Yeah. Having that vehicle that it's really a quick opportunity just to be able to say, that was great. Thank you so much. And I think that's where, if we can continue to promote that, that would be great.
Great. Thank you.
And then, so there's a variety of other initiatives that we are exploring in the context of our scope. And that's sort of in the coming semester. That's what we're working on.
You've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Really, really helpful to hear about that.
Thanks. Thank you, Andrea. And next is our transportation committee with Christine.
Okay, I think I have to leave.
So you may recall that the committee started as a task force in response to. We did a survey of the staff to say what's your most, like, your hot topics, and transportation came up. I think parking came up, but we decided to consider it transportation. So we have about 6 members, 2 of which are employees at large. We didn't meet much in the fall. We're kind of on pause waiting for the work of the consultant hired by transportation to advance such that we could engage in the conversations around early recommendations and early findings. We have met and we'll be meeting again with Bridget and Reed from Transportation Services to discuss the parking optimization survey results and the transportation commuter survey. Additionally, they have stood up the Transportation Safety Council, and we are representative on that committee. Our initiative for this term actually generated from a conversation during our mid-year retreat, which was to think a little broader about the transportation system challenges and engage with some of the leads in HR to explore the conversation around how we work, where we work, when we work, and can we relieve some of the pressures on the transportation system with a more progressive, kind of more open-minded thought around employee engagement with campus in general. So that conversation will start next week. We'll see where it goes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. And we have Tarek with Benefits and Policy Committee.
Yes, so our committee actually is a combined committee. So benefits and policy were separate, so it's a merged committee at this point. The scope, the current scope, you know, versus the old one. So the new one now, our goal is to work with HR and benefit offices to review and recommend changes to policy, benefits, and other things that relate to the work environment.
Sure.
So in a nutshell, so the key word here is collaboration.
Right.
So how can we collaborate with each other? So far, we've been holding in-person, monthly in-person meetings and via Zoom, you know, weather permitting, and good turnout. I have about 13 members. Half of them are assembly folks, and the other half are representative of the larger Cornell community. So far, the things I've identified, like as a group, what did we identify, if you ask me? So we can, we identified some discrepancies with regards to access and application of policies across various units. So to give you an example, so flex work, for instance, gets interpreted differently between different departments. You know, right now there's a great initiative happening, the seven dimensions of well-being. You know, it's new, it's still in the works. Not every unit is interpreting that, you know, the way it's supposed to, be interpreted. So there's a challenge there, and you know, we need to figure out what we need to do. Also, another theme is coming up, how can we provide more equity and bridge the gap between various kinds of employees? So we have endowed, we have contract, we have exempt, we have non-exempt. Mm-hmm. There is some feeling there that, you know, somebody is getting ahead of the other. So for us to be, you know, empower people and find ways that we can level the, you know, so people can get to the next level, you know, as employees. So that's another one. A favorite of mine are the things I've actually been more involved with. I've been looking at Cornell in terms of, what do you call them, peer institutions and regional institutions, and trying to kind of see what others are doing too. Why, you ask me why I do that? Because I want to make sure our workforce is competitive. I want to attract people. I want to keep people. You know, we want to keep our edge. You know, we have great research. We have students, but we need to have the best employees too. You know, so let's focus on that.
The only thing I would caution you there, I think that's great to do. My only caution is you've got to look holistically. So, you know, my experience is people will sometimes come in and say, this university has this benefit or this policy, you know, which is better than what we have.
Yes.
But if you look at the mix, they may be worse on like all the other things, and that's how they get that one. So I'm just encouraging you to look holistically and not sort of cherry pick.
So, I mean, I need other offices to tell me these things.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Mary's office does do a lot of that. You know, I applaud what you're doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just giving you the kind of argument that says, well, you know, Syracuse is better on this and IC is better on, you know, that.
Absolutely. Really, it's very hard. And I totally agree with you. That's why I'm not doing the thinking by myself. Like more discussion stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you said collaboration.
Right. We need to collaborate. Yeah. So, you know, so far I've met with HR. I worked with Alan Bishop and Lauren Jacoby there.
Great.
Met with Work Life. So I've been inviting these folks to our meetings with Michelle Ardeby, benefits as well with Gordon Barger.
Oh, he's very good.
So, you know, we're establishing this relationship.
Terrific.
It takes time.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
So
those are good people.
Right. So some of the challenges at this point, I feel we're not subject matter experts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I'm inviting all of these folks to sit down with me and have a chat. And
That's good.
I'll tell you, I'm ignorant. You know?
Yeah, but
I bet
you're learning a ton.
I am learning. So, you know, I keep telling folks that It's like, I really need a dumb answer because, and I need you to show me data, like support it. You can't just give me like an answer. So that's what I'm trying to challenge people on. My the approach of our committee is basically evidence-based, data-driven. You know, we're not trying to do anecdotal things. So, you know, things that you like, you know.
You're saying that because I'm a computer scientist?
No, not because things you mentioned and things that Mary mentioned. Yeah. It's like you're trying to base your decision-making upon like solid evidence,
absolutely.
Right? You know?
Absolutely.
Okay, so... So in general, I see that Cornell is not really lacking when it comes to offerings. You know? So what's happening there? I feel we need better communication and better education. Like, so there is knowledge, but the knowledge is not getting disseminated. There is policy. It's not getting applied kind of in a consistent fashion, you know. And I would like us to think about providing some sort of mechanism to tell the universities, like, check. You guys are doing okay. This unit is doing okay or not. So kind of we address where these discrepancies are. And I want to tie this back to our core values. You know, you started talking about core values.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope we get to that level because core values are going to drive.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's why we're doing this.
Right. I think what's missing right now, we don't have a lot of drive. Once we get the core values, I think we're going to do
it. I'm glad you support that because this is going to be a big effort, but really worth it, I think.
Or like aspire where we would like to aspire to be, you know. I think that's a very important discussion, you know. So.
I totally agree.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tarek. And lastly, our executive committee.
Hey. Hi there. Hello.
Love the Cornell Red.
Yeah, and it's also the Lunar New Year, so happy.
Oh yes,
Lunar
happy New Year,
everyone.
Year of the Pig. Year of the Pig.
Year of the Pig, everyone.
So.
On the executive committee, as Craig said, we've tried to do our best to reach out to different units and see where there are potentials for collaboration. So on our executive committee, you know, we have these weekly meetings and we talk about the agenda and some other things that we've been working on are just outreach. So Craig has met with Love Kumuyi of the Dean of Students Office Years Program to discuss potential collaborations and future trainings. So that's something that we really endorse for people to participate in. I think there'll be a spring semester training. I've been asked to participate in the Governance, Leadership, and Administration Working Group. That's one of seven working groups addressing the seven standards of accreditation. And this Thursday will be our first meeting. So this will be
Thank you. Different individuals.
Gina is a part of it. Matt Battaglia is a part of it. And some other faculty members across campus will be a part of it. And I think the last study was done in 2011. So we have some additional information from 2011 to kind of see what they've done in the past. So that'll be very helpful. Pilar has been working diligently with Charles Van Loen on policy 6.4.
Marion.
This is a proposed vision of faculty related procedures. And so we're going to present this to the EA review and discuss amongst
ourselves. That's good. That is very important. And we've got to get that wrapped up this year.
So the EA has been asked to provide feedback on the draft financial internal controls policy review. So we've gotten this feedback. The EA executive team has also provided feedback to help with this policy. And I think it's good to be a part of these decisions because they really encompass so much of what we do. So I think it's really a wonderful opportunity for us to provide input and really be a part of that discussion. As you know, the executive committee has worked very diligently to provide this draft report for the staff conversations, but I think this was a team effort from everybody, people who scribed, people who attended, the welfare committee for getting all the data together to data code everything, and Craig, who attended every single staff conversation, and we all took all of that in stride along with the results from the mid-year retreat to kind of provide this report and suggestions. So that's a big thing that we've been working on and, you know, continuing these discussions, doing outreach, doing the most that we can to kind of represent this very large staff body. Yeah, so that's
great.
A quick spiel.
Thank you.
So we're obviously very proud of the work that we've been able to accomplish so far this year.
Yeah.
Wanted to give you a brief snapshot
of
some of the activities that we have.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for that. I mean, this is a great group, but it really sounds this year, even compared to my previous years, like you're getting a lot of things done, which is really, really terrific. And as someone said, we rely, I mean, I say this every time I come, but it's true, we rely on the staff. Right? We can't faculty can't do what they do, which means the students couldn't do what they did without all of your efforts. So thank you for that.
So can I just add to the group that's looking at the outreach to new employees and the group that's thinking about the historical tour? We are right in the midst of redoing, it's called the Big Red Welcome. So it would be a time to put our energies together.
Okay.
Because we're literally right in the middle of that now, and Gordon Barger is taking the lead on that. So I would have a conversation with him.
Okay.
You know Linda Kroll Howell, and she can help you with what we're already doing with new employees so that we do this in a way that's complementary, because we already reach out to new employees. So we should make sure that we do it in a way that sends them complimentary messages.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I know we also had some questions.
Sure.
That we'd like to ask him.
Absolutely.
And give your perspective on.
Absolutely, ask away. I just want to say one thing. I want to remind people, you probably know this, that the employee recognition celebration is this weekend.
It's
next weekend. I unfortunately be out of town, but I hear there's hockey and kids sports and meals, and it'll be a lot of fun and free parking. So I hope everyone.
We linked up, but I believe it's with Ashley Fazio and to have some EA representation there for that.
Terrific. I wish I could go, but I'm not going to be in Ithaca.
Be great if you could help promote it. Most colleges and units now provide the tickets, mm-hmm. so it's a matter of making sure we need the count pretty soon, so make sure people in your units know.
So I'm happy to answer any questions, or try to answer any questions.
So I have some questions that the group has shared.
Sure.
So I'll start. The government shutdown has already, you know, fortunately we're in this lull, and potentially we may see another month, but one of the questions was what have been the downstream impacts to the university?
Yeah. Well, the first thing we did, which I hope the staff should know about, is we really tried to protect our people. We had about 100 give or take USDA and USGS employees here, and then another 100-150 up in Japan. And we helped them out during this period. They were not getting paychecks. We didn't sort of leave them dangling along with some postdocs. It's also the case that when the government shuts down, we don't get research dollars in the door. Now, we hopefully will get it eventually, but it was about $11 million over that period. Right now, we're getting paid again. If it shuts down again, it becomes a problem. It also becomes a significant problem when a grant is waiting for a renewal. Because you can't get a renewal. In the period when the shutdown was, that did happen, but they were for relatively small grants. If it went, you know, if you think about something like CHESS, if we ran into a renewal for CHESS, that would be very, very significant. The other downstream impact is, you know, the government is shut and then it reopens, but there's all this work that wasn't done in this period. So all of our faculty who have grants waiting to be reviewed, proposals for grants waiting to be reviewed, they're sitting there. There's going to be a delay to get those. I think if the government stays open, we'll be okay. I think if the government shuts down again, every day it's shut down, it's more hardship for us and every organization in this country. So keep your fingers crossed. I know, Mary, did you want to add anything to that?
No, we did put in place, we didn't end up using it, support for the USDA and U.S. Geological Services staff to assist them in getting part-time temporary work. Mm. It reopened around the time we got everything done, but if it does shut down again, we'll pick that back up.
Oh, and we did also reach out to our students in case there were any students who had parents who were impacted with this. It turned out because of the timing of these things, I think it was 2 or 3 students. But again, the longer it goes on, the more. And we helped them out. We gave them short-term loans and so on. If there were a longer shutdown, obviously we would continue to try to do that, but it gets tough.
This past summer, you had the opportunity to take a walk around
campus.
Oh, yeah,
that was fun.
And one of the staff members has asked, do you intend to do that again?
Yeah.
And
what was
your impression of those visits?
So I thought those visits were great. The best part of those visits, it was a surprise, right? We just dropped in. I try as much as I can. Now, I am on the road a lot, because partly because I have to be down in New York City some of the time, and partly because a big part of my job is fundraising. But when I'm in Ithaca, I try really hard to get out of Day Hall. I went, what did I do this past semester? I had a drop-in visit at Cal's. I went up to Geneva. I met the Geneva faculty. I had a meeting with the faculty and staff over in chemistry and chemical engineering. I went and gave one lecture in CIS. I dropped in as a surprise and lectured to the students. I met with the humanities faculty. You know, I opened to some events at the law school. I try to get out as much as my schedule permits. And next summer, if you're around, let's do it again. That was fun. But surprise, but same thing. We're just going to surprise you.
Yes, yes, yes. We won't tonight. With regard to the presidential task force, we've been following the online updates and so forth. In terms of going forward, I think that, and this isn't so much a question as much as it is a statement, you will find unanimous support for this work here within the employee assembly, and we recognize that there will also be challenges as implementation comes forward, and we would, I guess the question is to ask you to lean on us as another resource as those start rolling out, and we certainly hope that senior leaders who are committee chairs of those groups will look to us as another amplifier.
I really appreciate that. One of the things that to me has been really nice about that plan, quite honestly, is it hasn't just been faculty and staff, so the faculty and students, right? A lot of times when universities put out diversity plans, the staff is sort of an afterthought, and of course Mary would never, seriously, would never let that happen. So I think the expansion of the colleague network group to have mentors, I think the new appreciation portal, what are we calling it? Staff appreciation portal. I think another request that came in or recommendation was to have more training for supervisors. And I know there's now a whole, like several dozen online segments that will complement. I mean, we're really trying. Obviously, we always start with students. But we don't stop with students. And we really are trying to include the staff in that. So I very much appreciate that offer.
Absolutely. After the October 2016 staff survey results were released in April of 2017, six key areas emerged that were critical to the satisfaction of staff, professional, and personal life. Since those were published, would you like to, and this is kind of trying to articulate this in a way that
What have we done?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Thank you.
Well, you know, I think, so I'll be honest, I'm not on top of all of it. Mary's going to have to provide some of the answer to that. But I think some of the things we've talked about, I think the staff appreciation portal is an example, all of the staff appreciation portal. I think the expansion of training for supervisors is an example. I think the expansion of the colleague networks and the putting in place of mentors, all of those speak to specific of those six items. I don't know, Mary, you probably know more details.
Yeah, so you actually touched on the other two here. One is the consistency of application of policies and procedures. And that one is always going to be a challenge. And so the more help that we get from all of you, the better. So you know, we are a decentralized place. And figuring out the best way to create an environment where people can get the answers they need to know what the policy, or not so much policies, because we don't have that many, but procedures and how people are thinking about things. So flex time is a great example of that. Does everyone know how to use it? Have they been trained for it? I think that's an ongoing challenge for us, but that came through in both of the staff surveys. The other is career movement. People want to move around. They want new opportunities. And I'm really pleased to say that our staff movement numbers have gone up again. And Linda can tell you about that. But we're up, I think it's close to 40% now of all the jobs are being filled from the inside. So that had dipped way down and it's coming back up. So that movement is a good thing. We need to dig underneath it to find out if people want to move and they're not moving, why aren't they moving and how can we help them? And that's where things like the Career Navigator that we've put together, so you can look to see the way you, here's where you are, here's where you want to be, what are you missing to get there, as well as the opportunity graph that you can see in Workday. So those are the two really big themes, along with getting our supervisors trained. That's why we put that out.
Mary,
more recognition.
Communications as well.
Oh, and then, thank you. And then the, and this came up in the staff conversations as well.
Mary should be home in bed. I want to see what happens.
I keep trying to move away from the president. I don't think anybody will be happy if I make her sick. The issue of how, and you brought it up too, how do we tell people and how do we pull in information? So we've been working with Joel's group about how to be more effective in our internal communication strategies. It's not easy if you think about it. We used to have sort of, we read papers and then looked at emails. What is that today?
I think Gina's getting you some water.
Thank you. What is that today, and how does that differ from what we've used? How do we use social media? Thank you so much. So that's the other, thank you, Joel. That's the other area that we're looking at, and Joel's area has taken the lead on this and has some terrific ideas.
So President Pollack, on behalf of the Employee Assembly, and Vice President Opperman, Vice President Molina, and Kelly, for those of you that don't know, Kelly Cunningham is the Chief of Staff for the President's Office. Thank you all for spending time with us this afternoon.
No, thank you, and thank you for your leadership, Craig. I'm just so impressed with the report out and whatever you're doing. It's really great. Thank
you. Hope you all have a wonderful afternoon.
You too.
I'm now going to go put my mask on. And...
You are going
See, they're all rushing ahead.
I know. Committee chairs, thank you all very much. That was fantastic.
Done.
It was very nice to be able to share some of the important work that you all are doing, and I think it's something we can all be very proud of to share with the president and the senior leadership here at the university about the different activities. From here, transition into our business of the day, and the first thing I'd like to do is ask if there is a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
We don't see them part of it. You typically we get them to review. I don't remember reviewing them.
Okay, since we don't have those copies here, and that's fine, we will move that to the approval of the minutes at our next meeting. We will do the previous two meetings. We have new business today, and I'm just going to mention it briefly, but we'll have we'll turn it over to Pilar once we get to that point. Election season is coming up here in March, so we will be talking about that. And with that, I would like to turn it over to Pilar also for Resolution 3, and you'll note that the title policy 6.4 discussion, that's not the correct title. The title is Academic Title Holders here on campus. So Pilar, the floor is yours.
Pam there. We need to get it up on the laptop. Sorry.
So hopefully everyone, you have had a chance to look at Resolution 3 that has been in the box. We have had it up in the meeting here before. I have also emailed a few of you that when you did approach me for specific concerns, and as we get it up, I didn't see any other question or change. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. Anyone? No? So, we can quickly go through. This is our third resolution specifically for academic title holder changes. We are working off of what the Charlie Van Loan Committee, there we go. And if you look up from line 10, the first whereas, questions, concerns with the material as it stood. Second whereas, line 17, specifically looking at the defined, the research professor, senior scientist, and all the titles associated with it. Line 22, whereas the teaching faculty is defined as the groups Well, professors of the practice, professors, senior lecturers, those titles associated with it. Line 25, whereas the extension faculty defines the group of senior extension associates and extension associates. 28, whereas the group of research, teaching, and extension faculty is referred to as the RTE faculty. That's obviously being taken from research, teaching, and extension.
And that supplants what we've been calling the academic non-professorial, all sorts of other things. RTE is sort of the new term for that group.
And again, trying to stay away from before, it was, there was a negative, right? It was the non-tenured or the non-something. It's always something kind of like telling you no. So the idea would be that we would try to just give it a positive. We would give it an identifier, but we would still then bring them into the loop of referring to them as faculty. So line 31, RTE faculty concerns interests align deeply with concerns and interests of the university faculty, capital F, as you see, such as clear promotion, renewal standards, professional development, recruitment, retention, academic freedom, switching and mixing tracks, and moratus. Status, title definitions, ranks, clinical professor allocation ceilings, and various academic RTE issues. Line 37, whereas postdocs, oh, and that is the one that I just caught. You did ask me to change it to postdoctoral associate. I will change it to.
What? I'm sorry.
So line 37, whereas instead of postdocs, there was one comment that it was seen as a sort of negative turn. I did ask several postdocs and they actually looked at me that they weren't concerned, but I don't see an issue with us just say, changing it for the proper term, which is postdoctoral associate. So whereas postdoctoral associates have a critical role to play within the research community, then we're looking at the line 34, be it further resolved, it is best interest of Cornell to have both the RT faculty and the postdoctoral associate community represented through the faculty senate rather than through the employee assembly. Questions on the first, be it therefore resolved with the changes for first postdoctoral associate.
I have a quick question. I just want to make sure that with the seating to the faculty senate that there is reciprocal receiving on their end, that they will be adequately represented.
This is the trigger, and there's the appendix is how Charlie and the committee have foreseen that. Clearly, if the faculty does not sign off on this, then this is almost like an endorsement of the recommendations of the committee, right? So we're not saying that they will be gone forever from the employee assembly. What we are saying is that we recommend that they are represented by the faculty senate. That is in the process of being approved. There's been discussions, presentations, board of trustee prep, meetings with deans, meetings, and there have been no flags as to this not occurring. There have been ongoing dialogues with some of the details as far as the numbers, some of the flexibility as far as giving the colleges their own way of using the numbers. So even if they want to use it all with RTE or all with big faculty, it would be up to them. We just want to make sure we get people at the table. Sorry, Jim, Pam, can you go back to?
Are there any other questions?
I'm just curious because this is a funny thing that we ran into trying to help retirees is that, so just make it quick, we were looking into discounts on the campus bus.
Right.
The faculty gets discounts, staff doesn't. The reason is faculty are considered an essential asset and staff is not in terms of, and so there's a tax problem. If they give staff a discount, it's like a benefit to us.
Right.
If they give it to faculty, it doesn't cost them. So if
so
these
that
people
is
turn
why,
over to faculty.
Yes. So that is why then the recommendations of the appendix of the committee has also been that there would be an address towards the emeritus and emeritus status for these RTE individuals. The details of that is we are not going to dictate, right? As that,
right.
Yeah, we're dictating that they are, you
no,
know,
I just
RTE.
See it as a potential stumbling block.
And that is where it's on there for emeritus
right.
status. And it, what has been discussed is there has to be X amount of tenure to arrive there. By tenure, meaning time and dedication. So if any of the RTE individuals would meet, one, for example, is that they are here for at least 10 years, that they receive X amount of award recognition, and then they would be granted the same vetting as a full professor would be granted Moretta status as well. So this is one of the triggers. Yep. Line 43, be it further resolved that all Cornell policies using the term RTE faculty instead of non-tenure track faculty. Questions on the changes recommended for postdoctoral associates with the document that you see here?
Seeing no questions, is there a move to or a motion to bring this to vote?
I actually had one question, not specifically on that change, but just generally. Is that okay? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just when I was rereading this last night, it just occurred to me, I wondered if there's a summary number that we can provide just for the context of the EA. What am I trying to say?
Have a look at the appendix, Carrie.
Yeah, I did. I read through it. And maybe I missed something, but I was just curious which representatives would have their constituencies changing, I guess, most significantly.
So realistically, that's when actually we look at the numbers right there. So the research faculty, right? And then the teaching faculty, extension faculty are the ones that are research associates, lecturers, instructors. So those individuals are the ones that would have a clear shift in their representation. Even though by shared governance law policy, they are actually part of our constituent group, they have not sat nor have been active in any of these positions. So they then would legally, through Cornell protocol, be allowed now to take representation within the forum of the Faculty Senate, their committees, and their work. So they will, for the first time, from their own voices, have a place at a table that they see represents and works with their. So that gives you the 450, 380, 230.
Right. Gotcha. I was just curious, I guess, to Gina's question, how that would look as far as do they get dedicated representation, or when
right,
you see so, some flexibility, that's still TBD?
So, right. So if you, again, go through the appendix, right, there should be, Pam is great to kind of go through. This even goes through the composition that is currently there. So, there was a lot of work. We've been doing a lot, guys. Sorry.
Wait, can you go back? I'm sorry.
Did this one?
That one, yeah.
Well, I don't think we can. Right. So I think we go down further where we actually discuss what we're looking at. So the titles, how we split them up into each one, right? The people that we're talking about. And keep going. Sorry, Pam.
And Pilar, if I could make a point, the role of the Faculty Senate will make these determinations.
Exactly.
It's
not the EA.
Something that the EA
right.
will be
no.
deciding upon.
So we're not, we have, they, if they, with all the material, we are putting through a recommendation. And by we, I mean the actual committee. The committee that is on, being led by Charlie Van Loon for title holder changes. That committee is recommending X amount of number of seats allocated for the titles that we see. Those have been vetted by, you know, we looked at and talked with human resources, approached all the colleges as the numbers we have, and trying to come up with a simple representation. Remember, we're looking at give or take 1,100 individuals.
Okay.
It's not going to be 50 people. This is where we're looking at. This is a recommendation by the committee. Again, this resolution is not asking you to decide on that, is not asking you.
I know that. I just, you're right. You hit what I was looking for, and I guess I missed it. Oh, there, it just went.
So it was the top one. Yeah, it's the top one right there.
Yeah, yeah. With the number of RTE seats. I was just curious about the seats that they would be
getting. Right, and the flexibility that we are offering from colleges is that that's current structure of Faculty Senate, that right now they may already be having problems filling their already regularly allocated seats, that then the RTE faculty, new faculty member, would be able to also possibly just take a regular seat if the college feels that they want them there. So it is allowing those colleges to have more opportunity from a more diverse pool to bring in those hands, you know, at the table. So it should hopefully, if not really restrict, but allow for greater voice, greater impact for a population that has had no experience and no exposure at these shared governance tables. So again, question for you is the vote on the resolution.
Gina, you have a question or a comment?
If I may, a quick question. Just if you could clarify, will the RTE be able to vote for a trustee at all?
The RTE will be able to vote, but they will not be able to stand as faculty representative. But they will be able to vote for it.
For the faculty trustee, they just could never be a trustee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems we've presented that, we've discussed that, and they see that as the lower of their worries compared to a lot of the other concerns that they have.
Right, thank you.
Yeah. Kate? I'm sorry. Laura first, and then Kate.
So I'll be losing some of my constituents in the library system to this, and I'm just, librarians and archivists are academic title holders, and they're mentioned specifically in here, but I don't see it in the appendix that they are actually counted. And I guess I'm, you know, I still represent them. So under college, you have it parsed by college, but you don't under the academic units, but I don't see the library system there.
So they would be, so the librarians are being treated differently because they are actually a smaller number.
Very small.
So if we did it to them literally by number representation, they would lose out completely. So they're being allocated a set amount of seats, as well as the fact that the employees from the libraries are still a constituent group for any EA representative. As I said, the academic title holders, whether it be those who sat as archivists or those who sit in CALS as a senior lecturer, they have never sat at employee assembly seats. So you have still a broader sector of employees that you will be able to represent, unlike the academic title holders, as well as the libraries having their own shared governance branch that we are not even touching.
Kate?
Could answer my question.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Pilar, I really want to thank you for the hard work that you've put into this with Charlie and with the committee. It's important to ensure these individuals do have the appropriate representation across campus, and our recommendation through this resolution will be to, as Pilar mentioned, trigger the next steps for the Faculty Senate. If there are no other comments, yes, Jeremy.
If I may just take a minute.
Please.
Pilar, awesome job. We've been talking about this for years since I was on the assemblies. So to see this finally to this point, awesome job.
Chris,
I move that we close the debate.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And at this point, I'd like to see if there's a motion to have a vote.
Motion to have a vote.
Second. All right, great. So let's vote. We are voting in support of Resolution 3, academic title holders being transferred to the Faculty Senate. So all in favor, please.
Is voting yes.
Okay, and those opposed? Okay, Carrie, you're opposed?
She voted yes.
Okay, thank you. So the motion passes 18 to 0 to
any
0.
Any abstentions?
Excuse me, any abstentions?
Thank you.
18 to 0 to 0. Great, thank you very much.
Pilar,
so just
on a note, I want to thank everyone, all of us here at the table. We have made a decision to be active in shared governance, have a voice here and bring concerns. We are slowly but surely granting these 1,100 individuals the same opportunity.
Thank you. Before, I'm going to put Gina on the spot here. because you put that spreadsheet together, and we don't have a chair yet for the committee. But before Gina talks to us potentially about this next topic, I'd like to introduce, we have two guests, Bridget and,
Mary Beth.
And we also had a guest of Tarek's here named Derek. I encourage you all, please invite your colleagues to come join us, enjoy the lunch, see what type of things we're discussing, and just, again, it's part of that connection to the broader staff community and making folks aware of what we do here at the table. So thank you all very much for being here. Really appreciate it. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Gina, and we're going to talk briefly about the elections that are going to be coming up. And Gina, I would ask if you could stop at 125. I'll give you the high sign. And for the last 5 minutes, once we adjourn, if I could please see the committee chairs, and we'll go from there.
I did a quick spreadsheet to divide the assembly into sort of the classes. They're staggered terms. The charter says they're supposed to be equal, so that each year half of the assembly turns over. We're a little out of balance there. But the idea was to make sure that you all knew where you stood, if you're up for election this year and if you're not, and what that means.
So there's a question about seeing it. So we will forward this to the entire assembly if you haven't already seen it yet, so you can take a look closer.
The charter or bylaws, I think it's the bylaws, also say that the elections committee are those EA members not up for election. So even if you're in the purple group, you're on the committee. It's not an opt-in or opt-out. It's something that your internal documents say you are. I think it's fair to say that that was drafted when this assembly was much smaller and probably half was, 8 or 9 people.
Yeah.
You're 17 right now, so that's it's not going to be a nimble group, but I think Pilar has sat as the chair of the elections committee. Her seat is up for election,
so you need to
select a new chair for the elections committee. And we work very closely, hand in glove, our office does with the elections chair to make sure that we're well coordinated, everybody has the right information. We get the word out on the elections and engage the community.
Could you remind, I guess I missed it, what is the purple, what is the green, what is
purple? Were elected last year, so it's a 2-year term.
Okay.
So you're current.
Okay.
You don't have to, if you're in the purple, unless you step down, you're in.
Okay.
If you're in the green or the orange, and the orange I'll speak to a little bit, but the green are, that term is up this spring.
Okay. And if I can say, Gina, if you are, again, having led the elections campaign a couple of times, if you are planning to step down, please let us know sooner than later so we can actually incorporate that into the elections and the seats that would be up for the fall. So we don't find ourselves with some seats that are lost. And that can be for a lot of reasons. Some people, their professional, career, whatever, they're wanting to shift. But the sooner we know that those concrete numbers, the seats that have to be filled, then they will be able to be run in the election a lot easier.
And we hope that none of you are.
None of you do, but to be fair, please tell us now.
Yes. Sure.
I think there's two seats for the retirees, which we share a single seat.
Yep.
So I think this year we're going to try to elect one person, and I'm not sure who they're going to replace.
Okay.
But then we'll have.
Oh, I'm sure.
So,
I'm sure.
So I really want to have election within the retiree committee. What are the dates that this should be? And then going forward, the one representative will get elected every year, so we'll have a.
So you'll be staggered as well.
Yeah, staggered.
That's great. So you'll. Right now, you're both green. One will be green, and those are just arbitrary.
You chose.
I hate to call it the green group and the purple group. And I think the dates are sort of where we're headed. So the idea was to make sure everybody could see themselves here, identify the elections committee, get that elections committee together so that you can elect a chair or appoint a chair. And then there are several things that elections committee will have to take up pretty soon. One is the calendar.
so that, and we usually work it backwards. Mm-hmm. And then also the Andrew and Carrie actually occupy seats that were sort of created because there were no candidates in the last election. They're at-large seats. The question then becomes, do these seats go back to the constituency that didn't have them in the last, that didn't see them in the last election, or do they continue as at-large? And that's just a consideration that you'll need to take up. And
Gina, discuss. So I had assumed when we ran them as at-large that they would fulfill the full term of that seat that was due.
But there's, and I think that's
that's what I thought, how we introduced it and how we then presented it to the candidates that took those seats.
Well, there's, and that's the clarification to make, because there's nothing right now to support that other than they were seated and in.
Because I believe the only one that was actually Marcy Benda for the women's, that was going to be a 1 year, they took over. There were a couple of individuals that took the 1 year term.
Well, again, I think those are the considerate, that clarification, so that it's, okay. So that they're not orange. We want to get the orange into green and purple. And that's up to the elections committee.
And based on what you've heard at this point and kind of needing to get the ball rolling in an effort to advance something, is there anybody that sees their name on the purple list that would like to volunteer to be the chair of the elections committee?
The Office of Assembly is a big partner. They do the big beast of the work.
We'll do the heavy lifting.
There are templates already for the election, the calendars. We have everything in place to have it be really nice and smooth. We just need, obviously, from the EA, that voice, that guiding. So it's not that bad.
So I hear, no, I'm not. Volunteer. I have a question.
Andrea,
but if they do the heavy load, what is the responsibility? What does the chair have to do?
So again, the Office of Assembly is not here as they don't decide actions. They don't set patterns. What they do is they facilitate. So the chair of the elections will decide the dates, the timelines, the restrictions, how we set out stuff through the paw print. If there are questions, like she said, at the large, or if there are questions that, you know, this person submitted their stuff right on the cusp, but they gave everything, but the, you know, discussions of those, that is the chair that's going to be making the decision. But the nitty gritty, right, is the Office of Assembly. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. It's fun. Recruiting is great. Arm twisting, getting people to run.
We'll let this pause for like 5 seconds, and if there's no volunteer today, that's fine, but we will need to move forward on that
as soon as possible, because
we'll do is we're going, now that we've identified these who the elections committee is, we'll put that up on the website as the elections committee, and you will be included in the listserv, so that, and I'll just send out an email sort of recapping this conversation and asking if, again, after you've gotten back to your desk, if you're totally moved and you want to be the chair, that's great. But that's the first order of business, is somebody needs to chair that committee so that we can then get the other things rolling.
Thank you very much, Gina. Also want to add, each member of the executive committee, it serves on a 1 year term. So all of the executive committee seats will be coming up for election. So be thinking about that as well. With that, are there any last comments? Great. Thank you again today. Really nice visit with the president. And so if the committee chairs could just hang out for just a minute, this meeting is adjourned.
Well done, everybody. That was a great meeting.
Oh, wait. I still need Carrie, right?
Right. The election. Okay. So we start.
I'll come over to you.